My name is Larissa Duncan, and I'm here with Dr. Frida Sattel, and we're going to ask her some questions about her experience in Johnstown with a Jewish community. So we'll start with some preliminary questions. Were you born in Johnstown?
Yes.
Okay. And did you grow up here?
Yes, I was born in the only hospital and never left Johnstown.
Okay. And let's see. Did your family come to Johnstown?
My father was from Baltimore. And he came here in 1920. My mother was born in Rochester. But my mother was not born, but she was from Rochester. My father was born in Baltimore. My mother was born in Romania. But her family came to Rochester, New York. But she had a cousin here by the name of Moldov. And I don't know how far back you can go in Jewish to find out the family Moldov. But something was going on there at a party. And my mother came and she met my father. And they fell in love. And they were married 3 months after.
So what did your parents do for a living, or your father?
My father was an optometrist. That's what brought him to Johnstown.
Okay. Okay, and that's how you decided to become an eye doctor? Or?
Pardon me?
Is that how you decided to, on your profession?
Partly.
Okay.
When I graduated from high school, I thought I'd want to be a journalist. And my father said, well, it was the end of the Depression. They send you to State College. Want to be a journalist? Could you get a job in the Tribune? Maybe $10 a week if you get a job. When you get that college degree, that degree should ensure your future. You can take care of yourself. Teacher? Nurse? Even optometrist? Okay, let's think of that optometry. And so I went into the school. And I just came back from being honored at my school because 25 years ago I got the Presidential Gold Medal and Alumni Award.
Oh, wow.
And this is the 100th anniversary of the school. So I was asked to come down and be recognized again. And there's a wonderful write-up, by the way. I think it's on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Lots to look for. Oh, yeah. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Great. So, well, did you grow up in this area, like in Westmont, or what neighborhood did you grow up in?
Yes, I grew up in Westmont.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And I'll tell you that story.
Okay.
Like I said, my father had only been here maybe, must have come here in late 1990. But he knew nothing about this area.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the Jewish people lived around what was the synagogue across from the railroad station. And the whole area and back there was a big Jewish population.
Mm.
So when they were looking for a place to live, they came up and they saw this apartment on Edgehill Drive. And they thought that would be very nice. So they moved there. And my mother was sort of a auburn hair, blue eyes. My father, likewise. The name is Sattel. So Mrs. Carter said to my mother this first Sunday, Mrs. Sattel, would you like to go to church with me? My mother said, no, thank you. The next week she asked. Finally, my mother said, Mrs. Carter, I'm Jewish. I don't go to church. Well, Mrs. Carter almost had a stroke. And had she known that they were Jewish, they would not have had that apartment.
Mm-hmm.
But that was where they lived. And then they lived there for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my brother was born, they needed another room. It so happened on Edgehill Drive, right next to the Carter home. The Carter home was, when you go down Tioga Street, then onto, is it Tioga? Yeah, then mm-hmm. onto Edgehill, mm-hmm. right at the mound
mm-hmm.
in the woods.
Yeah.
And as a little girl, everything was safe there
right.
at that point. And I knew the woods, and I knew the people around there, and so forth. I could go out and play all by myself. That was different. But at any rate, right next to that was a double house. Now it's been made into one home.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, it was a double house. The landlord, Tony Leppard, lived on one side, and his tenant was leaving. So he and my father had become friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Doc, he said, I understand that you're looking for a place. My tenants, would you like to move here?
Mm-hmm.
Dad said, that would be wonderful. We could just move next door and so forth. We did not have a car, so we'd be close to the incline. Yeah, that'd be fine. So I didn't know what happened about, let's say 5 years ago, I was at the farmer's market at downtown every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Leppard, who was a chiropractor, I don't know if you knew.
No.
Jackie Leppard, Jackie and Margaret Leppard. They were sons of the landlord. So at any rate, he sees me one day, every Friday we'd meet. And one day he said to me, you know, there's something I thought about telling you, but never did. He said, but I'm going to feel better if I tell you. He said, when your father, when your family were moving in, my father got a phone call from Mr. Fonts. Mr. Fonts was the big wheel, either Bethlehem or U.S. Steel. And he lived... Are you acquainted with Westmont?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I lived this.
Well, if you go on Edgehill Drive, mm-hmm. and there was this apartment house, which is still there,
mm-hmm.
and the next house, then there's like an alleyway.
Oh, okay.
And on this side of the alleyway was a big home
mm-hmm.
that belonged to Fonts.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main address would have been Fayette Street,
mm-hmm.
but the back of that house faced the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
If you go up Fayette Street, there's a house with white columns. Fayette Street was quite a beautiful, it still is, a beautiful mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And the man who lived there was the manager of, I think, Penny's.
Okay.
In Johnstown. It's Penny or Sears. I mean, right now I don't remember. But at any rate, so he calls Tony, and he said, is it all right if whatever this man's name, and I come over and talk to you? Well, Tony said, what do you want? He said, I'd rather not talk about it on the phone. So they come over, and so I said, what's this all about? And Mr. Fawn said, the rumors around that you want to rent that place, your place, to that Jew doctor. And Tony said, excuse me? Says again. He said, what's your problem? He said, you know, okay, they live in apartments, quiet and so forth. They'll maintain a household here. You know, you let one in, you know what's going to happen. More Jews may come up here. And we don't want to live near Jews. And Tony said, asked him again, he said, you really mean, oh, don't want to live near Jews. And Tony's answer is, I suggest that you move.
So that was a good response.
That's a fascinating story. And we just heard from Fred Glosser about how he had to fight his way to school or different things. So we didn't even ask about anti-Semitism.
Right. I mean,
but it seems it can come out.
Right.
A lot of stories.
Right. Well, yeah.
The only Jews that were up here when they moved up here were people by the name of Wanker. That name doesn't mean.
I know. They went to Williamsport later, but I know the family.
Do you really?
And Callett. Callett was up here also.
Callett's the, you know.
On Luzerne.
And, of course, Mendels.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we do have some questions about that, about if he did experience anti-Semitism. And so we were wondering, like, how did you address it? How did it make you feel?
Well, I had experience.
Yeah.
Remember I told you the alleyway that went straight to the side of the street?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I went to at that point, this grade school was inside of the street. And I had to have been no more than second grade, because eventually moved here. So I had to be about the second grade when a little boy, and of course, you know, there's a song from South, You've Got to Be Taught to Hate. So little children grow up knowing the Jews are bad people. And this little boy, something must have come up in the class that I was Jewish. And this little boy, on the way home, was throwing stones at me. You're a Jew, you're a Jew, you're a Jew. Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a couple more stories that Frieda has. Tell her the story about one time when you were socializing up at Sunny Hannah.
Oh, time marches on. Of course, my girlfriends were not Jewish, so I was very friendly. I had some wonderful friends who knew I was Jewish. And 5 of us were very close. And of the 5, 3 belonged to Sonny Hannah. So this is when the war is breaking out. And I'm invited to a birthday party. But before the birthday party, Joanna Hager, her father was a lawyer in her big family, and she said to me that at that time, that Sonny Hannah, if you had a friend, a college friend, that wanted to use the pool, that year they would have a pool you could do that, a permit for the summer. I don't know how much it was. So I came home and I said that I could go to Sonny Hannah and go to the pool. And my father said, I don't know how much it was, but again, you have to think about expenses and all, how much. He said, besides the expense, he said, I'd have to think about it. So there are other things, but he didn't say anything. He said, I don't know, we'd have to think about it. Of course, I guess I must have, because I must have carried on. Da-da-da-da-da, so going, I need to go too. I'll think about it. So very shortly thereafter, Joanna had this big party at Sunny Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
It was summertime in between terms at college. So another friend of mine, his name was Bob Sharman, we were a group. Not necessarily dating,
mm-hmm.
but just we went as a group.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob Sharman said he went to Bucknell, and he had his friend was with him, and he said, how about when, that he was going to be taking somebody else and his friend, would I go with his friend? I said, okay. So we go to Sunny Hannah. And that's when the draft for the war, we were already in the war,
mm-hmm.
in the draft. So I can see myself standing at the punch bowl drinking, and they're talking about the war, about being drafted. And my date said, this is the worst thing that can be. He said, I think there's no reason for us to go in the war. As far as I'm concerned, Hitler's got the right idea. He said, about the Jews, he said, would it be a bad idea if we had something like that here? Bob is looking, he's going on and on about why you should hate Jews. And Bob says to him, for heaven's sakes, whatever his name, Frieda's Jewish. And he looked at me, and he said, oh, he said, I didn't think they let Jews in here. And of course they didn't. There's a, there are very few, what they call token Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that point, I said to Bob, I really don't think I want to stay. I need to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to Joanna, I said, I'm not feeling well. I did not stay to the party. I was too upset.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came home, my dad was sitting, we lived on Sunny Hannah Drive.
Okay.
And we had not a swing.
Big front porch, though. Yeah, the big front porch, right?
The big front porch, and there was something like this on the front porch. And my dad is sitting there, because at this point, it must have been about maybe 7 o'clock. And Bob takes me out and walks me up. I said, I'm sorry. I said, it's okay. Dad said, what in the world? And I told him what happened. He said, do you still want that swimming permit? I said, yeah.
Mm.
The next day, this fellow came to the door with flowers, candy, whatever, wrapped the door. The dad answered the door. And he said, I'd like to see Frieda. I want to apologize. And Dad said, I'll tell her about your apologies. I think you better leave.
Mm-hmm.
And when years go by, and the Spiegels had a bar mitzvah for, anyway, they were at Sunny Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were playing the horror, I said, I turned to somebody there and I said, if the walls don't collapse, the people are
sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know they said we just spoke to Fred Glosser, and he said he had a similar story that there was only so many Jewish people that were there and that he couldn't join because David Glosser was there, but they would only let so many in.
Right.
And so,
reach their quota.
Yeah.
The quota system.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course, it was a quota system and everything.
Yeah.
My brother Leonard, who was all a student, whatever, when he, and come to think about it, and a war veteran,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
That's, I never thought about that until right now. And a war battery. Then I get into medical. He and Ray went to University of Pennsylvania. This is when they came back out of the Army. Because they both were in pre-med together. And Runner had all good marks. Mm-hmm. Ray got in. Runner did was not getting into med school. The tax collector up here, Mr. Rogers, was very good friends of my dad. One time he said, my dad was telling him that it doesn't look good. Rogers had somebody of import at Jefferson, who reread my brother's marks and so forth. And finally, at the very last minute, got admitted because, the quota system.
Mm-hmm. Look, I want you guys to carry on. I'm going to go open the building for the Klein Stubs.
Okay.
And they're going to come over. You finish up at noon and then come over. Thank you.
Okay.
Be well.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I'll see you guys in a little while.
Okay. So, I guess maybe kind of on that note, how long did you have your practice in Johnstown? For a long time, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And
I took over the practice when my dad died.
Yeah. Okay.
In 53. I was young and female.
Right.
And the sales rep told me after I was there for about 3 months. Later on, he told me that he went back to his boss and he said, too bad, she's not going to make it. And she made it.
Yeah.
And when I think of my office on Market Street, I feel like Dolly Parton. I was born and didn't know it. That humble office.
I remember that. Yeah.
That humble office. Yeah. And I had an optician.
Mm-hmm.
And to do all the adjusting and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And on a Saturday, if we're busy, there's not room, there are people for the outside, and nobody minded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so being the, what you were saying before about facing anti-Semitism, and that you had that business for so long, and that, in that practice, that, like I said, I was one of your patients, and you had so many people that just loved you, and so how did...
What you just said...
is
an emotional thing for me right now.
Yeah.
Almost to tears. The love shown to me, I was an adjunct professor at UPJ. They had a program asking somebody to represent every profession. And you had, if they asked you, you had that appointment for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were critiqued by the students and by the head of the study. And if they didn't particularly like you, they said, thank you very much, goodbye. I had that for all the years that I was in practice, which was over 25.
Mm-hmm.
Of the time that I was in practice, I had them the whole time.
Yeah.
And anybody that wanted to, and what they did, they spent so many hours in my office for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they wanted to go onto the School of Optometry, I sponsored them.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them have become like my own children.
Mm-hmm.
I told you what just happened right this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw love poured out for the cards that I've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to bring something to show you.
Sure.
Oh, wow, look at that.
That's the gold medal. That's the dean. That's when I got it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Dr. Bosha, Dr. Mancuso, Dr. Hoare. Her father was Verma. Her name was Rita Verma, and she's married now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Oh, well.
And at this that I went to, he's now mostly bald and gray. He has his own family. Has a wonderful practice in Easton.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
He came there specifically to be with me.
Oh.
And some of the people there, but it was just, and I don't know, but I've had patience in what you just told me, that I've got cards and so forth, because I think it was, and this is what I told the students, that I treated my patients, as you know, as my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do for them as I would do for family. And there were more things than just, I took my time. And just one instance. At the time, I don't know whether you remember this or not, there was where the Pascarella has their big center
mm-hmm.
in town.
Mm-hmm.
There was an apartment house full of people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they took that down. So this woman lived there, and then she didn't have anywhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't getting into, what's it called, the towers?
Yeah, the towers. Mm-hmm.
She was having a hard time, and she didn't know what she was going to do. I knew somebody at City Hall. And I called up. And I said, told him, I said, this woman, so forth. She didn't speak English so well.
Okay.
And she had an apartment.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. And of course, when I was practice, a lot of people still of the vintage of people that came, I won't call them immigrants, but that's their children became first generation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You take people from around Central City and even parts of Wimber and out of that area, the people who worked in the mines and the mills were of the Slavs
mm-hmm.
and Italians.
Mm-hmm.
And if one person, I never advertised, and if one person liked me, then other people would come, and other people would come. So I had, and then I had the start of the practice.
Mm-hmm.
There were patients of my dad's and stayed with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they could hardly speak English.
Right.
And I'd been able to talk to them. Even in Italian, I went to Italy, decided that if I had to learn something, I took a course in Italy, in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
So there was Carmela
mm-hmm.
had a beauty salon here.
Oh, yeah.
Carmela.
Yeah.
And his parents came to me. And I'll tell you one funny story there. So somebody came from the family from Italy. And the father, who spoke very little English, but he did understand English,
mm-hmm.
he comes with uncle whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm examining him. As I was examining him, if the man of that I was examining didn't tell the right letters, he would correct him. Well, I enjoyed what I did. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a pleasure being a patient of yours. I never forgot you.
we have a lot of fun there. Do you
remember
the fish tank?
I do. Yeah, I do. I remember. And I know one story I remember that I always remember is that story that you told when Paul Newman came into your office when they were filming Slapshot.
And what?
Paul Newman came into your office.
God. Yeah.
That was always my favorite story. And how he touched his face. Yeah.
Makeup.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bruise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he asked somebody came and asked if, because they looked around, they knew that I had a private office with a telephone, and he needed to talk to somebody. So I guess that was before the office, before a cell phone.
Yeah.
Can he come in and use my phone? And I said, yes. And I went in, and first, at my desk, I had gone up to Glossers, and they were showing some kind of a machine that you could put peanuts in, and out comes peanut butter. So I bought some peanuts at the office. There you go. I put it on my desk. I wonder how this works. So I put it in. I had peanuts. So I said to Elaine, oh, first of all, she's getting hysterical. The Paul Newman's coming here. I said, clean off the peanuts off. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I never forgot that. But he came in, and everyone in the office was like, oh. And then you said, you go, oh, you have a bruise, and then you messed up his makeup.
Oh, makeup.
Yeah. Okay, so we have one more question. So what changes have you seen in the Jewish community in Johnstown over time? What changes in the Jewish community have you seen in Johnstown over time? Have there been any changes?
Not only the disappearance of the people, including my own children, that Johnstown didn't hold anything for them. My son is in California.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's in Georgia, and this happens. There was nothing enough here to hold them, which, and of course, it's not only my children being Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
It's, this is what's happened to this town, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But what has happened, too, as far as the temple,
mm-hmm.
the few people that are here, and again, I go, and Friday night, we have few people because the interest, it isn't the number one interest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this isn't, I understand it's not only among Judaism. I understand this is happening in churches and so mm-hmm. forth,
yeah.
that the response... That there are other things, not that you still don't believe,
mm-hmm.
but there are other things that are more important.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that their belief is less,
mm-hmm.
but that they don't have to have a synagogue to prove it. You don't have mm-hmm. to be a churchgoer
mm-hmm.
to be an honest, living, good Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Same way.
So, yeah, so you think the idea or the identity of community has changed in that way, that you still have the community, but it's just
yeah,
not.
This is the times that we're living in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I guess they go by the book. Shakespeare, to thine own self be true, and live your own life. That mm-hmm. isn't necessary,
right?
But still show up when the, and they well, comes a crisis like what happened in Pittsburgh
mm-hmm.
at the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody came,
right?
A crisis, unfortunately, would bring them together,
right?
Which is too bad, but it's still there. I guess there comes
right.
a crisis.
Well, and I think that's the important thing to keep in mind, is that it still endures, it is still there. Do you think there's a way to, you spoke in terms of there being the community around institutions, the synagogue, the
mm-hmm.
church, and then sort of that more individual mindset.
I traveled the world.
Mm-hmm.
From safari in Africa to going by myself to Egypt. My brother was a psychiatrist, and I was troubled getting a visa. He said, why do you need a visa? I'm going to Egypt. Who are you going with? No, I'm going by myself. Are you crazy? I said, stop that. But I was going to latch on to another group in Israel and go from there to Turkey. So I've traveled and I've seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In Cairo, there still was a synagogue with police going back and forth in front,
mm-hmm.
even then.
Mm-hmm.
Same way in some other countries, police going back and forth, even then. The war was over and so forth, but
yeah.
even then, because mm-hmm. of anti-Semitism, I never thought there'd be policemen going back and forth, which won't be at our synagogue.
So, well, is there anything else that you would like to add before we go?
That I would hope that in time that there will be more unity of a community, which means
mm-hmm.
all people.
Mm-hmm.
My father said, whatever you are, let live.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you believe, let live. And this community has been very good to me.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
This community has been very good to me.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so
thank
much.
You. On your way out, let me show you some things.
Okay.
Bye.